This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Joy Lilly. Joy is in San Francisco, California, and I am in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is February 6, 2009. It is now 12:22 in the afternoon. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Please tell me about your quilt, Help, Hope, and Hallelujah.
Well, I started this quilt a long time ago. I started making the fabric because I'm basically a surface designer, and quilting is one of the things I do with all those wonderful art fabrics that I make just for fun. And I actually had a commission to make a series of Thermofax silk screens. Those are quick little screens that you make on a machine for another quilter who was using a variety of polka dots. And so she had me make 22 different screens with larger and smaller and denser and thinner groups of polka dots. And then, because she's an older lady and she couldn't print them herself easily, she asked me to do the printing. And she needed them printed in black and opaque red, yellow, and blue. And she only needed three or four of each piece. So I wound up with a screen full of ink. And instead of just wiping it off or scraping it back in the jar, I decided to play, and I printed onto a couple of pieces of fabric just random scatter patterns, leftover ink, partial prints, all kinds of overlapping prints with these four colors. And this one piece of fabric was kind of a pale mint green, and that fabric has been fascinating me for a long time. And I thought that someday I would cut it up and just, like Jackson Pollock, make it into random squares and then maybe make a grid out of it and make a simple quilt. And I had it out lately during the election period. And the election, by the way, I thought I would get so tired of it, but I didn't. I've been interested in Obama ever since the hoopla about his becoming a senator. He obviously had a lot of good qualities, and so I've had my eye or my ear to the radio. And so as the primary season wore on, I was rooting for him. Every single primary was an up or a down. The polls were up and down, and I became obsessed with all the minutiae of the election. And so this piece was out, this piece of fabric, and I was thinking about using it, and then one night I'm lying in the bathtub and I saw those squares that I was going to cut out of the mint green polka dotted fabric with red flashes running through them. Now, there's a quilting technique where you slice the fabric, you put in an inch wide strip, and then when you sew it back together with half inch seams, you have an exact replacement for the amount of fabric that you took away. So the pattern underneath appears to float behind the stripe. So I'm not a night worker usually, but I got out of my bath and threw some clothes on and started putting stripes in this big piece of fabric and intending all the while to cut it up. And then I put in blue stripes, and then I put in yellow stripes because they just seemed to want to be in there. And the piece was so busy that I decided it needed to look like a triptych. And it still wasn't about the election, and it got framed in three pieces. It got framed with black around the three pieces. And then the more I looked at it, the more it seemed to be about the west, the middle, and the east of the country. It seemed to be these stripes that went across from one section to the next. It seemed to be about the way people were communicating across the country. The red stripes and the blue stripes and even the yellow stripes were communicating across the country. And I still didn't know what it meant, but over time, it began to take on my fascination with the election, and those clusters of dense polka dots in blue or in red started looking like campaign headquarters, and maybe the yellow ones that were kind of scattered looked like sort of undecided voters. And then I started realizing I was working with primary colors, and all these jokes started getting into it, so I went with it, and I decided, okay, this is about the election, and this is just about the time early November when all of us were holding our breath and many people were thinking, can it really happen? Can he really win? There's just a huge amount of hope and excitement. And then he did. And so I wanted to put another layer on the quilt to express that excitement. And that became three big swishes, again, blue, red, and yellow. And then the way I spent many hours rearranging these swishes, but the yellow one was also a message from my muse, because I got this vision that the yellow one needed to be a big multiple zigzag, kind of like you see in cartoons when there's something really exciting or something blows up. And so I went with it. You know, I'm getting good advice, so keep on going. And the swishes finally got arranged in such a way that the blue one was higher, the red one went up and it dipped, it went up a little more, and the yellow one is this big zigzag. So they started to look like a graph running across these three panels. So there's all different levels at which you can say, oh yeah, I understand why that is about the election. And so the hallelujah part, this excitement got put on the top layer. And there was a lot of thought that went into what quilting technique am I going to use. At first, they were just going to be stripes, and I thought, should I slice and replace the stripes? No, I better not, because those black borders will offset too much in the long run. So I wound up backing the quilting cotton, especially the yellow. It was, you know, other darker colors always show through yellow, so I backed it with a fairly heavy layer of fusible interfacing, and then I top-stitched it on with a sewing machine zigzag, and that seemed to work, and before I was finished, the pieces were hanging off the end, and then I thought, well, okay, let's make them hang off the end. It looks like they're coming from before the election and moving on out. So the hardest thing about the whole quilt was binding those bottom left-hand corners where the swishes actually pass beyond the boundary of the quilt edge. So I learned some new technical things about how to do that, which I'm not going to explain here because I'm not sure I've got them right yet. Anyway, so the quilt became help because there's all this activity, this chaotic activity in the background, hope and hallelujah for Obama's winning the election. And then I had to think about how I'm going to top stitch it, because I've got these different colors, and the stitching is going to cross the swishes in red, yellow, and blue, and what color of the top stitching thread am I going to use? All kinds of problems. And the morning I was scheduled to go to the, where I had an appointment at the long arm quilting machine, which I adore using, I was in the bathtub again. I got an inspiration. My bathtub should be a write-off on my taxes. But meanwhile, the inspiration was to use words that each of the candidates has said and use words from the public. And somewhere along the way, my old roommate came to town, and when he saw the quilt in progress, he said, you know what that yellow means, don't you? And he's from the Philippines, and he said the color of the People's Revolution in the Philippines was yellow, so the yellow stands for the people. And I went, oh, of course. So the blue quotes are comments that Obama has made in various speeches about how we have to help each other, and there's always hope, and I can't remember them right now, but I can get some quotes. And the ones from McCain, I had to find something really quick, so I went and looked at his concession speech, and one of his statements during his concession speech that moved me very much was, I pledge tonight I will do everything in my power to help him. So there's the help context again. And of course, one of the red lines says the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull is lipstick. And in yellow, it says things like, I never believed I'd live to see the day that an African American would be elected president. We did it. Hallelujah. Things like that. So that's the story of my quilt.
So what are your plans for this quilt?
Well, I'm hoping that it will continue to go on tour for a while. Other than that, I haven't thought about it.
Are you planning to go to the opening?
Yes, I am.
Ah. And whose works are you looking forward to seeing up close and personal?
I haven't been looking on the website enough to really have a feeling for it. Susan Shea's work is very famous, and so that will be really interesting to see. Yeah, she's a famous quilter, so it will be interesting to see what techniques she used to get to that kind of imagery. I'm as much interested in how you make marks on fabric as I am in how you put it together to quilt it. So I guess in general I will be looking for my particular interest in surface design as much as I will be looking at you know, people's, how they sewed it and what they and what their content was. I'm fascinated by the fact that there is so many different directions people have gone in. In fact, I'm in the show because my quilt does not have a picture of President Obama on it. At first, when I emailed Sue Whalen, she said that it was pretty much filled up and she put me on the waiting list. And then a couple days later, she emailed me back and said, is your quilt something other than a picture of the president or the candidate at that point, Obama? And because we need a little diversity in our show. And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. And so, voila, I'm in the show. It turns out that they opened up another floor, I understand, in the gallery so that all of the quilts will be able to be shown. Even some people did two or three quilts. And I was a little anxious for a while to worry about whether my quilt was so far off topic kind of that it might not get exhibited. But the curator is not dealing with those kinds of problems. I will delete that.
How did you hear about the exhibit?
Oh, good question. It was a Thermofax again, the silkscreen making machine. I teach a surface design class, and some of my students know I have it, and so they order screens from me. And there's one woman who's in the show, Bonnie Smith, who ordered a screen, and when I saw what she was wanting me to make, it was the stylized portrait of Obama. And she had a quilt in a Japanese show and won some kind of award, which was a stylized portrait, I think, of herself in repeat in the various squares. And I thought, I bet she's going to make a quilt like that about Obama. And so when I brought her the screen, I said, is there some kind of a show about Obama or the election? And she said, yes. And so she gave me the link, and I got in touch with Sue, the email, I mean. So that's how it all started, my trusty little Thermofax.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
My mother was a dressmaker. Her father was a tailor, and when she came to this country from Russia, she worked in the dress factories in New York. And then, to learn more about it. And then when I was a child, there were always scraps of fabric under her sewing table. And so I thought I'd be a fashion designer, but I quickly discovered that making clothes was quite a chore, and I was never quite up to the level of the fashion of this week. So I just kept those sewing skills in the background, and I became a graphic designer. And I did that for many years. I lived in New York City, and I learned that it was, in those days, in fact, it was called commercial art, but I learned that it was more commercial than it was art. And so I started doing actual batik one summer when I was visiting my brother and his wife in Santa Barbara here in California, and people started buying my little batik dyed pieces, and so I came back to the fabric, and then you have to do something with the fabric, and I guess my interest in quilting came from the fact that I had batiks and I had marbleized fabrics and I needed to do something with them. And also, for a short while, I had a little job of sewing up quilt squares into potholders for another quilter. I wasn't a quilter yet, but this lady was selling them at craft shows, and she just needed production work. And the pattern so fascinated me that I went and took a quilting class. Before I had learned very much about that, I found myself volunteering at the local senior center teaching the seniors quilting. And boy, did I learn a lot doing that, and I've been teaching ever since. I eventually got a grant from the California Arts Council to teach at that senior center, so I taught 3 days a week. One day was quilting, one day was silk painting, and one day was printmaking on fabric. So I was in hog heaven doing that. And that led me to what I do now, which is I teach quilting and surface design for the local adult education district, as well as making scarves and marketing them and selling occasional quilts and doing occasional, lecture and workshop for a quilt guild or a fiber art guild.
So whose works are you drawn to and why?
Can I think about that and get back to you?
Sure.
Okay.
right. So tell me about your favorite techniques and materials. You talked about thermostats.
Mm-hmm. I like to manipulate fabric. I like to paint it, print it, dye it, bleach it. I even sometimes, you know, pleat it and chop it up. And I like to use silk as well as cotton, since I have a background in batik led to silk painting. And lately I've gotten into felting, and this is the very first piece of sample felting I made went into a quilt. So I see felt work as another potential quilt-making material, although maybe whole quilts might not be made out of it. It includes surfaces that are partly felt as well. So if it's on the surface and with fabric, I'm not so interested in weaving and crocheting and knitting in the yarn media, but the felt is more like Play-Doh. You can make pictures in it. You can make shapes out of it. You can do all kinds of things with it that are very exciting and yet still work as a surface.
Is Help, Hope, and Hallelujah typical of your work?
No, it's not. It's extremely unusual in that it doesn't have a lot of piecework in it. The only thing that's typical about it is that I use some hand-printed fabric.
So what would your work typically look like?
Well, I have several different styles. Another style that doesn't have a lot of piecework in it would be a whole cloth piece of silk bordered by another patterned silk. I'm a closet fabric designer. I never wanted to go to school and learn fabric design and go into that industry, but I've always designed fabrics. And so some of my fabrics look great around the other pictorial pieces of silk painting. So lately I've been matching them up and making quilts that are pretty much a whole cloth quilt. So that's one style. Another style is to take a patchwork design and do it in a kind of offbeat way, kind of liberated or G-Ben style. In fact, in my class right now, my students are having an awful lot of fun doing things where the corners don't match, and we trim the square afterwards so that it'll be assemblable. But for the time you're doing it, as long as you can sew a straight line, it's fine. So I like the G-Ben quilting, improvisational quilting style. I like to work with found scraps. The most exciting things I do seem to be the things that come from what was on my cutting room floor or what was left after I did another project. I just quickly throw pieces together, and that's the most fun. I like to work with gradient fabric. A little aside here, I actually did get to design and have printed some fabric for the quilt market. Turns out a friend of mine is an art director for one of the companies that creates quilt fabrics, and so she picked a couple of my marbleized printed designs, and they put them into production. They're called swirls. And at the time, they were going to do a matching series of gradient fabrics where it went from dark on the edges to light in the middle and back to dark on the far selvage. But at that particular time, there were several other companies doing something similar, and so they never went ahead with the line. But I wound up with all the practice prints of gradient fabric, and I also wound up thinking about how wonderful these fabrics could be if used just in replacement for flat color fabrics. If you use a graded fabric or an ombre fabric, your quilts are going to start shimmering and glowing with these changing colors. So I'm working on a book for using ombre fabrics in quilt making, and I'm still experimenting with that. So that's another whole look that I have, is what happens when you substitute graded fabric for plain fabric. I'm sure I have a couple of others, and maybe we can get back to that.
Now, you talked about using a long arm. Do you use a long arm to quilt all of your quilts?
Mostly. It's so much faster, and I was trained not only as a graphic artist but as a fine artist, and so I love to draw. And the long arm machine is sort of a drawing tool, a little bit like, what do they call that kind of drawing where you're just doing a continuous line, contour drawing. And so it's an automated contour drawing machine, and it also feels a little bit like you're riding a motorcycle standing up, so it's a power position. And I've taught myself to go slowly and deliberately and draw what I want to draw. So, for example, I have one of my silk whole cloth quilts is nasturtium flowers and lots of leaves. And I've drawn around the leaves and also elsewhere big loopy circles with the nasturtium veins in the middle so that when you turn the quilt over on the back, it's all muslin, you see a drawing. So I have a lot of fun with it. I'm very comfortable with the using the long arm machine freehand.
And you go someplace to do this?
Yes, I do. I have a friend here in the city who rents her long arm machine, and she's just about a mile away. And when she's not available, I can rent one in a quilt shop that's down in San Mateo, which is about 15 minutes south of San Francisco. They have a couple of them. They trained me to do it there, too. It's called Always Quilting.
Very cool. Do you belong to any art or quilt groups?
Yes, I do. I belong to the San Francisco Quilters Guild and the Northern California Council of Quilters, which is a excuse me, it's kind of an Uber guild, which the teachers, the quilt shops, and the guilds belong to. So I belong to it as a teacher, and I belong to the Southern California Council of Quilt Guilds, the same kind of organization. At various times, I've belonged to the Arts Council and the Surface Design Association and to Peninsula Wearable Arts Guild and to Contemporary Quilters and Fabric Artists. I don't belong to those last groups at the moment, but there are an awful lot of groups to join, so I kind of rotate around them over the years.
So why is it important for you to belong to these groups?
Well, it's the contact with other quilters, whether they're quilt artists or not. I always see something new and exciting. And it's networking and stimulating because they have speakers who are really interesting and they get me going in new directions and teach me about new materials. And they're my friends. They're the people who speak my language.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Don't try to be perfect. Perfection is optional is one of the mottos in my classroom, and I have, at any given time, I have about 20 beginning quilters. So they usually come into the class with a project for a bedspread or something large or something half-finished, and I encourage them to make something small so that they can see it, to go through all the processes and get it finished.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
I'm particularly interested in the challenges of art quilt makers because our art is often looked at as a home craft, and it isn't anymore. It's as much a fine art as painting and sculpture and digital photography. But because it's made out of homey materials, sometimes we get denigrated, and that's not real art, that's just a quilt. So that's our challenge, is to make the public aware that that's real art.
So how do you balance your time? You talk about surface design, making quilts, teaching.
Well, my time is... It revolves around my teaching schedule, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to make a living teaching half-time. So 2 days a week, Thursdays and Fridays, and occasionally on weekends I'll have a workshop one day or take a workshop, but usually I have that four-day time of Thursday through Sunday that I can catch up with my life and catch up with my artwork. And sometimes I get ideas while I'm in class. One of the wonderful things about working with students is that they do things I never would have thought of, and that leads me off in new directions that I can even try my hand at while I'm in class and showing other people and learning from them. Some weeks go by and I don't do any quilting, and other weeks that's all I do. So almost all I do, I eat and sleep and you know, do a few other things, but spend a lot of hours quilting. It goes in bursts. I'm not the sort of person who gets up and quilts for 2 hours in the morning like a writer.
Describe your studio.
Pardon me?
Describe your studio.
My studio is 3/4 of my bedroom. I'm fortunate, and I have a house with really big rooms, and my bedroom's about 18 feet long. So one corner by the window is the bed and the stereo, and the rest of the room is walls of bookshelves, open bookshelves with the fabrics piled up by color. And kind of in the middle of the room is a 60-inch standing height quilting table, and it has my sewing machine on it. And if I turn my chair around to the other side against the wall, I have a desk. And the ironing board is back in there somewhere. On the open shelves where I have the quilt fabric, I also have some boards that are about 48 inches high and about, 30 inches wide, and they kind of act like sliding cupboard doors to protect the fabrics from the light, even though they're not attached. But they're covered with flannel, and I use those for work boards. If I have a really big piece that I'm trying to organize, I put a flannel tablecloth on top of my bed with the flannel side up, and I use that as a work table. And then when I'm done or when I need to go to bed, I roll it up with all the pieces caught in the flannel. The plastic on the back keeps them from sliding around, because if it were just a piece of flannel, the fabric on the back would cause them to move. So I can have several pieces wrapped up in flannel tablecloths waiting for the next step.
So you work on more than one thing at a time?
Oh, absolutely. I have drawers and file folders full of unfinished projects.
What do you think makes a great quilt?
One of the teachers whose ideas I like, Mary Mashuda, said that a great quilt has three levels of interest. You spot it all the way across the room, and it excites your eye. And then when you get up closer, kind of middle distance, you have another level of interest going on that you can see. And then when you get really, really close, you see something else that you couldn't have seen at those other two distances, perhaps the stitching or perhaps a tiny texture pattern in the fabric, or perhaps all those yellows that you thought were all the same are actually all different fabrics. So it has interest at different levels, and I try to go by that particular wisdom. And also, it's one of those things you can't always put in words, but my sense of balance and color as a visual artist comes into play. If something strikes my eye, I just like it. What else makes a good quilt? Something interesting going on in the stitching, something interesting going on in the fabric that was being used, perhaps some hand-dyed fabric used in an unusual way. Something that makes your eye move all around the quilt and appreciate all its different aspects. Something, a message in it.
Do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
I'm an artist first, and for a long time I've been working with fiber. And sometimes I go back to painting, like for example, in silk painting or printmaking, printing on fabric. But I come to my quilting from the point of view of an artist. I only have one bed quilt, and it's on my bed, and it's a piece of art, too.
Did you make it?
I did.
It's nice sleeping under a quilt.
Pardon me?
I said it's nice sleeping under a quilt.
It is. And let me tell you just a minute's worth about this quilt. It's made up of strips that are from samples and demonstration pieces that I've done in my classrooms over the years, and unfinished squares and extra half squares and